And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces with Walt Rubel and Peter Goodman on KTAL LP 101.5 FM. And if you want to call us during this segment to ask any questions of our guests or make comments, we're at 526-5825. And our guests for this last half hour are Tucker.
Hello.
David Tucker, technically, but Tucker. And Carol McCall.
Hi.
Both either are or have been on the board of the Mesilla Valley Film Society, right?
Yeah. Like
you
not
are
yet.
Now.
Not yet. They keep pressuring me, but not yet.
Oh. Okay.
Well, which manages the Fountain Theater, for people who aren't aware.
Yeah. Right. And Tucker takes people's money some days.
And he's on the programming committee.
Okay. So what is the programming committee? How do you choose films? What are you looking for?
We just try to keep up with new releases and see what independent movies that are coming out, what interests us, and then there's a process from there that we whittle it down to what we want to try to show in the upcoming months. Sometimes we can't really get it right away. A lot of times we can't get it right mm-hmm. away, so we have to contact the distributors. If they don't contact us back, then sometimes we don't get those movies because there's a break in the communication and we just can't get it. So we usually have a list that's longer than the number of weeks that we're going to show.
Sure.
And then that gets whittled down until.
How would you describe to folks what you're looking, and I know it's several different people who have different priorities. I know one had priority of as many documentaries as possible, but what kinds of films are you looking for?
It's really just what's available and then what interests us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going to be in a theatrical period that's not going to be streaming right away, that the Allen's not going to mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. You know, there are right. it's not as just like, oh, we like this movie and we want to show this movie. There are other
right.
limitations that we have. But what we're looking for is art movies that are compelling to different audiences, even if it's not necessarily compelling to us. If we understand that our patrons that regularly come, you know, we try to get every once in a while a movie in Spanish that's going to be mm-hmm. compelling to a Spanish-speaking audience, or some LGBT movies that there's a lot of different members mm-hmm. from that community that come to the Fountain Theater often. So
in some ways, I think you guys are a lot like us in that, you know, we're trying to not be the same as all the corporate people and the commercial people. And we're trying to fill a lot of different niches and
yeah.
have a lot of different variety of options for people to choose from. I mean, I really see a lot of similarities in the business models of both the organizations.
Yeah. And there are, you know, people who love movies will see films of all genres.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure.
And some people will only come to a comedy, or they'll only come to an English-speaking film, or they might have kind of a preference for, say, Spanish films or European films. Korean films are really big right now, too. So we it's hard to do it all.
Yeah.
But
it's impossible to do it all. Yeah.
So many good movies. But we do pretty well.
Well,
we
it's worth noting that an awful lot of your films that we see at the Little Fountain Theater end up winning Academy Awards.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking this morning? Because you were talking about how your anniversary is coming up.
Yes.
And you've got a, you know, fundraiser, the value of community.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of the distinction between the Fountain Theater and how people might stand around or sit around and talk about the film afterwards, mm-hmm. or they might go away thinking, oh, man, I've got to go home and think about that, or I've got to go home and look that up. I didn't get it. You don't see that in a commercial
right.
multiplex
oh,
that
right,
much.
Right.
You know,
yeah, the community.
There have been a lot of them recently when we walk out. My wife and I, and, you know, sometimes with friends, sometimes not, but making friends because we're standing out front of the fountain talking about, well, what do you think that ending meant? What's supposed to happen there?
Exactly. or what was the political context that compelled the director to make this film?
I'm not that intellectual.
It seems like there's been a real upswing in interest in film in general in the community, a lot more filmmaking in the community, more interest every year in the International Film Festival. And can you talk about, you guys have kind of been there all along. You've seen that all the way through. You were there when the redesigning or refurbishing the Rio Grande Theater was just on the drawing board. Have you seen a real resurgence or uptick in interest in film in the community?
Oh, for sure. And definitely independent film.
Yeah.
I mean, when
yeah.
you look at how many independent films have been nominated and won Golden Globes and Academy Awards, and they're all movies that we've shown. And,
right.
Very definitely a return to smaller stories, more intimate, you know, stories.
But even locally, I mean, there's CMI, there's more even Hollywood movies coming in and being produced in Las Cruces, and to varying degrees of, you know, independent and big blockbuster movies in Las Cruces. So I do think that they're just overall, there's just more of an interest. I mean, there's an economic value. There's also a lot of people who come from other places that get a lot of other influences that bring those trains of thoughts into the community and push even more art in all different, you know, not just film, but music and
for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I very much think we're, you know, you guys and KTAL LP are really two different battalions in the same battle to basically have the community to amuse, educate, and instruct the community and get dialogue going.
I would agree with that for sure.
So is there anything coming up that you're really looking forward to that maybe you want to let people know about?
Well, we went with one of my picks for that. We've started the staff pick.
Is that Calle de Malaga? Is that your?
That's not my pick. No, it's for the August schedule. It's Stalker. It's a 1979 Russian,
yes.
Andrei Tarkovsky.
Stalker,
I saw it in the early
80s. Guy.
Not, science fiction.
It's kind of a science fiction, but it's really lots of layers to it.
He's also regarded by, you know, film aficionados who really know their stuff. He's regarded as one of the greater directors ever.
That a lot of people who are not really into film don't know and don't understand. But there's just so many layers to this to that movie. And
isn't Stalker sort of the translate? He's like a guide.
He is a guide.
Who takes the character through
to a place where all the wishes are granted.
To the room, through the zone into the room. The room can is believed to grant your deepest desires, but it's highly illegal to go there. And so he's kind of the guide that can navigate through the zone. Changes its form, and it's not what it's the reality is not perceived the same in the zone. And
was that based on a book, or is that all entirely
that I don't know, but I don't think so. I think it's all he
if
wrote, directed.
If I had to guess, on Tarkovsky, I would say he, you know, it's his concept,
right?
He had weird ideas. You know, I'm not saying everybody would love all of his films, but
no,
people might be familiar with Solaris, which was the remake. Was it originally called?
Yeah, it was originally called Solaris. Yeah,
and then the remake had George Clooney, an astronaut science fiction film. They might be more familiar with that one.
Okay.
What else? Calle Malaga.
Calle de Malaga. I've seen the previews now for a couple of times. And read a little about it, but tell people about it because it looks like kind of fun.
Yeah, it takes place in Morocco. It's a Spanish language film about a woman who, a senior citizen who is told she has to leave her apartment.
By her daughter.
Yeah, where she's lived for, you know, 30 years or whatever.
I'm selling the place, Mom.
How many times have people heard that? And I'm not. I have to go back and look at older Almodóvar movies, but I was told that she was in a lot of Pedro Almodóvar movies when she was younger.
But this is not his.
No, it's not his. Yeah. No. No. And then, yes, that's...
So that starts... You know, it's probably worth saying, you guys, I mean, back off for a moment from the individual movies. You tend to show a film for a week or so, not a full week, but it starts Friday and you can finish as to when. But you also have other series that show at midnight or on Saturdays.
Right.
So aside from the individual movies, when does a basic film that's there for the week that opens on Friday, when else does it play?
We start a first-run feature generally every Friday. And for the most part, it plays Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then we'll open a new one the next Friday. And we have a lot of series. We have a classic series, a cult series, generally on Tuesday nights. And sometimes we'll pick a film that we think might work for one or two or three screenings, but not a full week, and then we fit those in generally on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday nights. And just a little plug here, if anybody wants to know what our schedule is, our website is mesillavalleyfilm.org, and you can get ticket information, buy tickets in advance, and find out what's coming up through August.
And by a unintentional coincidence, if you went back to, I think it's the early 50s, the biggest scandal around in Hollywood involved two people, and you have one film that says it's reminiscent of the filmmaker, and then you have another old film.
Okay, nobody knows what you're talking about.
I'm going to explain it, that she's in. Ingrid Bergman and Roberto Rossellini.
Oh, Notorious.
Notorious has her, and
Cary Grant.
Is it Constantine 51 or some 25?
Oh, Continental 25.
Says it's based on his something in 1951. I forget the name of the film.
So, yeah, that's part of our, Notorious is part of our classic series. That's an Alfred Hitchcock film. And we're excited about that one. And, you know, I also want to say
When do the classics play?
Oh,
sorry to interrupt.
Notorious is Tuesday, August 4th.
Okay.
There's no set schedule for when those are going to... It's kind of when we can fit them in, that there's not a rental at the theater or something else going on, but they're typically on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Showing the famous Blob. The Blob was in my childhood, I think. I don't remember when it came out, but...
Well, this one is 1988, but there is a 50s version. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's part of our Night School series, which is mostly horror, but not all. We showed Taxi Driver last week.
Yep.
And science fiction, Donnie Darko is coming up. So we try to be all over the place.
And can you talk a little bit about the theater itself and the fact that you have the restaurant right next door and kind of the whole experience that may be a little bit different than, you know, going to a commercial, you know, Allen Theaters or...
The whole experience is a lot different.
It is.
It's definitely not a multiplex with a lobby that's an acre, big. It's an intimate theater with 100 seats. We have a single screen. And we do join La Posta, so patrons can go next door and get a beverage if they want, bring in a beer or wine or a margarita. No food, however, because we sell cream bars, and we don't want to...
Right. Well, and popcorn.
Right.
We don't want you to ruin your dessert with food.
Exactly.
Exactly. And the ambiance is, it's a historic building, historic theater, owned originally by the Fountain family. And there are murals on the walls that were painted by Albert Fountain III, depicting his father, Colonel Albert Jennings Fountain, coming into the Mesilla Valley. So the whole experience from the time you come in, the music you listen to, the people, the volunteers. We're all volunteers.
It's a community, you know, like community radio. But no, you know, we see a lot of the same people. And even if you don't know people, you end up
eventually
talking to them.
Yeah.
And really, a lot of people come who have moved to this region, and they were thinking about where they want to live. And they came to the Fountain Theater, and they said, we had this amazing art house back home that we absolutely loved, and we fell in love with the Fountain Theater. And we get that a lot. We get people coming off the street who are here visiting, and they choose to spend the evening seeing a movie.
And it's right off the plaza, and it's just it feels a little bit different than Las Cruces. It is. It's a different atmosphere and
there's
a different vibe. Yeah, that's right.
Right. Tell us about a couple of more of the films that are coming up. I mean, I saw one is. Is it Balthazar, our hero Balthazar?
Our hero Balthazar.
I mean, that looks very timely in that the hero is some kid that wants to oppress his girlfriend by stopping a school shooting or something.
Yeah, I think at first it's an act, and he's just kind of pretending in order to impress this girl, and then eventually he figures out that he knows that this in Texas, that he's not from Texas, but he drives all the way to Texas to stop somebody who he's found online that he thinks is going to be a school shooter, and so he really gets pulled into it for.
And we don't know until we see it whether the guy actually is. I think the guy sees something this guy has put online and responds, and his responses convince the hero that he's a school shooter.
Yeah.
And does Balthazar get the girl?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Tune in on July 31st.
How about Constantine 25? What was that one?
Continental 25. That one's a comedy. It is Romanian. All of our foreign language films do have subtitles. We also have listening devices and other things that you can to help you enjoy the movies. Do you want to? No. It's one of those that's.
I'll talk about this one if you'll talk about yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
The woman is in a precarious situation. She's in Romania. They're called bailiffs.
Yes.
But she's essentially a codes officer or an officer of the state who has been charged with evicting a man from a derelict apartment. And again, here's a case of an old person who's getting kicked out of his home. But she really empathizes with him and the people in the neighborhood, and comes to see their lives as much more valuable than her bosses do. And so it's her experience with this neighborhood.
It really does kind of track the Rossellini film, in that there's also somebody there who has a suicide happen, and she takes it as her mission to help everybody else because she's so grief-stricken. How about Power Ballad?
Power Ballad was one that we were iffy about. We're still not sure whether or not it did actually show at the Allen, because if it did, it was a flash. But it does have Paul Rudd and Nick Jonas. It is a bigger movie, which is not one that we typically get, but there's just something about it that kind of spoke to us that we thought it would be funny. It's also rated R, so it might be a little more risque than you would expect it to be.
It's got a great soundtrack. It's about aging musician, washed-up musician.
That's what I was going to assume it was about. Yeah,
and a young guy who...
A wedding singer... And the young guy steals his song, and then the wedding singer is constantly throughout the movie trying to get credit for his song.
And Paul Rudd is a phenomenal actor in comedy and drama, so we're kind of excited to be showing it.
I loathe some of the characters he plays. I don't know that that's going to be true.
Oh,
here,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, some.
You're right. Sometimes he can be a real jerk.
Wasn't he the actor that was sort of had a crush on his neighbor, not a sexual crush? But.
Or the neighbor had a crush on him.
Okay.
And he kind of milked it for, you know, to sort of ridicule the guy in front of his friends. Yeah.
Yes, the Israeli film. Talk about that.
Another one that we were not too sure about, and we've shown a lot of Middle Eastern mm-hmm. movies recently, kind of on both sides. There's been some protesters outside the theater because of that. I mean, we're not making these movies, and we're not trying to take a side. We're just trying to put information out there that does allow people to see and maybe see a different view than, you know, some of them.
You've showed a couple
so
that give a real good view of what's happening in the West Bank and that kind of thing.
Right.
That I've appreciated.
This is a kind of a parody that's not really as obvious that it's making fun of, and it is an Israeli movie, but it's also making fun of how the current politics in Israel are going right now. And
and the premise is this guy's written a new
musical,
anthem.
The anthem, yeah,
yeah.
And he's poking fun at the government in a surreptitious way.
And it is presented as kind of a musical. Maybe not a
satire.
Traditional musical, but yeah, musical satire, yeah.
Okay. What else do you want to tell people about the theater?
We have a lot of special programming, mm-hmm. a lot of balls in the air. We got a small grant from the Rainbow Coalition at the Southern New Mexico Community Foundation to present three LGBTQ plus films over the course of the year. So the Film Society is working with Inclusive Las Cruces to pull that together. We are going to be showing First They Bombed New Mexico in September, mm-hmm. The documentary about the downwinders and their fight for justice and economic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's people we know.
We're very familiar with
that. Actually, they re-edited the end of the film.
Oh, that's good.
Because the budget appropriation for Congress included New Mexico, and in years past mm-hmm. it hadn't.
That's right.
So we're excited about bringing that one. And in October, we're showing a film called The Dads, which is a documentary about fathers of trans kids. Mm-hmm. And the directors and producer will be here for that.
Oh, that's great.
So we're also excited about that. And then also the filmmakers for First They Bombed New Mexico will be coming. So there's a lot of, like, little single screenings mm-hmm. here and there throughout the fall. We're applying for another Science on Screen grant. This year we had a series of four films that paired a popular culture film with a speaker who mm-hmm. talked about the science behind it. And the one for next spring, if we get the grant, will be about animal communication, non-traditional forms of communication. Neat. So we'll have a faculty member from equine science and in the animal and range science department. The woman who is in charge of the companion animal program is going to talk. And then there's...
I think we may have had her on the show once.
Yeah, it's really interesting program for sure. And then a gentleman who's a faculty in biology who studies songbirds, specifically parrots. And so that's going to be an interesting series. It's on my mind because I'm working on the grant proposal, but it won't be until next spring.
I'd just say if you're at all interested and you've never come, just stop in. Even if you don't want to see the movie, just stop in, say hello, and maybe eventually come and see a movie.
A lot of people would find the theater neat to
And I assume you guys are like us in that you're always looking for new volunteers. And
We are. But as Minerva said earlier, even though it's a volunteer job, it's still a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take a lot of commitment.